Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. By Experience kicked off the digital revolution of live events to movie theaters and other locations globally with David Bowie's 2003 reality album launch. And since then, over 17 million tickets have been sold worldwide for cinema events By Experience has distributed globally. Their broadcasts include the Met Live in HD series, the UK's National Theatre Live series, the public radio shows This American Life, Live with Ira Glass, A Prairie Home Companion with Garrison Keillor, and the upcoming broadcast of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the Roundabout Theatre Company's production of The Importance of Being Earnest, Red Hot Chili Peppers Live, I'm With You, The Big Four, Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, and much more. By Experience distributes to over 60 countries to 2,000 movie screens, including many in the WAMC listening area. Their newest project is Exhibition, Great Art on Screen, and the eagerly awaited exhibition at the Royal Academy of Arts, Manet, Portraying Life, premieres in cinemas worldwide today. By Experience was founded and is run by Julie and Robert Borchard-Young, and Julie joins us now. Julie Borchard-Young, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you, Sarah. It's lovely to be here.
Tell us how By Experience got started, please.
Well, it's a long history. We've now been in operation for over 8 years. We started with an idea, which was to take our collective history. Myself and my husband, Robert, both came from the music industry. He came from the live event side, and I came from the record business. And we thought, how can we take our magic and do something new? And so we came up with this concept of producing and distributing live events into movie theaters. We had started in 2003, you know, 10 years ago, with David Bowie's album at that time, Reality. His new album just came out recently and charted number one around the world. But that was a really great project to start on, because David being very forward-thinking in technology and us having this forward-thinking technology in our back pocket, which was the ability to take a concert and really beam it in live time so that people around the world could experience it as sort of a shared experience. And we loved that, and the impact of it was huge. But then we sort of thought, what next? And we put together By Experience to develop that concept. So when the general manager from the Metropolitan Opera was being named, I went to see him and I said, Peter, here's something that you might consider for the Met, because we had history together at Sony. And I shared with him the results of the David Bowie experiment, and he loved the concept, loved the idea, and literally had not left Sony yet. He was on his way to the Met, and he said, I really want you to develop it for the Met. And now we're in our seventh season of Live in HD.
From the idea to Mr. Bowie, how did you, like, obviously he is forward thinking, like you said, so it appealed to him, but how do you get in touch with him and decide to do it?
Well, I was the head of, so this is pre-By Experience that I did this. I was the head of Sony's international department, which was Columbia and Epic Records and Classical and a number of others tied together. And Robert had done a tremendous amount of research on digital cinema as a consultant for Sony. And so he had the platform kind of in mind, and I had the artist in mind, and we kind of really quickly, in like 6 weeks, put this show together, which meant finding the funds for it internally at Sony, which is not an easy task, and convincing the artists and the bosses that this would be a worthwhile investment to do on behalf of the new record. And, you know, lo and behold, everybody agreed, let's take that risk. And Bowie himself was, you know, first, I wouldn't think that there was ever a time when he thought it wouldn't be great. He thought, let's do it, and was a willing and enthusiastic participant. And what we asked him to do is perform the new album in sequence live. So that was a lot to ask of an artist, you know, especially when they're just releasing a record. Usually they tour longer into the life of the record so that they're very, you know, they're familiar with their own songs, but he did it. And he also did a couple of greatest hits, and we had a Q&A, and, you know, the cinema fans went nuts for it. It was a really warm, intimate an experience for them, seeing, you know, David perform on a 50-foot screen and kind of being in a shared experience together at the theaters. So it was a lot of steps, but we did it really quickly, and it was a, you know, awesome experience and a great success for him, too.
So with that, and then everything else that you work with now, which we'll talk about more specifically in a moment, there's so many moving parts, so many different things you have to coordinate with, not just, for instance, the Met is a behemoth. There's so much going on there already, but then you have to work with all the cinemas to get them in there. And they screen at different kinds of theaters, like not just, you know, Regal or something like that, but independent movie houses too. how does all of that get organized?
Well, there's no question that the Met took it, you know, from the top down, and now the entire company, which is upwards of, I don't know, 1,500 people work there during the season. They've all embraced it. So that really has been the key. And the same with the National Theater, where we work out of Great Britain. We work with the National Theater on its program, which was modeled after the Met's program. And the same thing has happened. I was just in London recently seeing the plays that are in the current NT Live season, and had a chance to meet with the executive director, Nick Starr, who basically echoed that the whole company is behind the concept now. And that without those companies really embracing it and sort of making it a part of the fabric, it wouldn't happen because of all the different parts that are tied to it. And then on the cinema side, which is really where we place the majority of our efforts, because the cinemas are not in the Met Opera business or the National Theater business or the exhibitions business. They're in the business of putting a movie up and selling popcorn. So that's really where we put our effort, is talking to cinemas, building relationships. And now, you know, after being interlopers in the cinema exhibition business 8 years ago, we're really part of their planning and decision making, and they seek us out for interesting programs that we could offer them. So it's a win-win for everybody.
I love it so much. They show them at a bunch of movie theaters and other kinds of theaters in our listening area. But I saw One Man, Two Governors down here on Broadway, and then obviously couldn't afford to take all my friends, but could take them to the Spectrum, which is our local cinema, to see it there.
Right, exactly. And that's really the underpinning of this entire concept, is access, affordability. And even though By Experience is a for-profit business, we operate with a mission. And that is very nonprofit way of looking at the world, right? We sort of think, is this for the good of the public? And if so, how do we make it really bring it to the widest possible audience? And that affordability is key. And so is the access of just driving down the street or walking to your local movie theater. It's so much easier than hopping on a plane. We hope that, you know, when people get inspired, that they will hop on a plane. And when they go to London, they'll seek out the National Theater. Or same for New York. They come to New York and they want to experience the Met, because nothing beats being there live. But the HD shows are the next best thing. And it's that community that I think really reinforces that.
How did you start working with the public radio shows?
Well, that's a really great story, actually, because we were contacted by a really forward-thinking producer out of Public Radio International, who said, you know, we have this great show called This American Life and this really cool host named Ira Glass, and I want to bring radio to the cinema screens working with you, and I want you guys to help us develop it. So Robert really put all the production together and assumed the task of sort of making what is not a visual medium very visual by working very closely with Ira and his production team. That was a tremendous experience, because Ira's audience is so reactive. They'll take risks with him. And we've had three cinema events with Ira so far, and I think there's more on the horizon.
I've seen two of them, and they're a blast. That expanded to Prairie Home and now Wait Wait.
Exactly. So what's great about the public radio space is that there's friendly rivalries. There's not such overt competition. So one kind of inspires the other to take that risk. And yeah, we're just in the final throes of getting Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me up and running on May 2nd, and there'll be an encore on May 7th. So really around the live date, but we're very excited about that, and the whole team's behind it, and they're thrilled. They're adding all these extra elements, and it's going to be, I think, a tremendous show, period. But just adding that visual aspect for the first time, this will be that many of their fans will not have seen what these guys look like and how they interact and the dynamic that takes place between Peter and Carl and the panelists. You know, I think that'll be a really fun event.
And now let's talk about Exhibition. Tell us how this got started.
Sure. Exhibition is and again, this is kind of like a twist on a concept, because Exhibition is taking art, still art, and translating it to the movie screen. So how do you do that? Mm-hmm. And our producer, Phil Grabsky, had worked on Leonardo Live, which was a live the night before the exhibition opened at the National Gallery in 2011. He worked on this on a live basis and wanted us to also participate live. And we thought, you know, there's just not enough time. We were short. So let's do it after. So what we did is we took the captured event and asked Phil to really spend more time on the art than what his live show allowed him at the time. And so we brought Leonardo live to movie screens last February, and over 120,000 people in, I think, 19 countries attended. So you could see there was this demand for the art, and there was this demand for the story. And so Phil went away, and we kept talking. We all developed together this concept of exhibition, which is the idea is to bring the world's greatest art out to the masses via movie transmissions. And so our real inaugural launch is with Manet from the Royal Academy. And then following that, we have two other events, Munch on June 27th and Vermeer on October 10th. Uh-huh. So it's three shows to kind of launch this series. And we've had tremendous excitement from the movie theaters globally. I counted this morning, we're on 26 countries right now, and with, I think, more expected, we're subtitling the program into German, French, Spanish. So the idea is that, and I've seen that the event film many times now, is that you're really immersed in it, and you get to spend time up close with the painting. For example, when you go to a gallery and it's well attended and you're sort of muscling in there with others to see the painting, on average you have about 18 seconds before you have to move on to the next. So what we've done is sort of tripled that. We've sort of said, let's spend 90 seconds on a painting. You know, the editor is going to want to cut away. It'll feel that uncomfortable, you know, because the editor wants to make changes and sort of quick cuts. But don't do that. Make this very contemplative so that while we'll hear a little bit about the historical significance of that painting and the narrative of that painting, we'll also give the viewer a time to sort of sit, relax, think on their own without being forced onto the next. So we really have high hopes for this series and believe it'll be the third leg in the stool of what Bi Experience is about, the visual arts, the performing arts, and, you know, opera and theater being two of those legs of the stool. And then, you know, other events will come and be a part of our portfolio. But those three are really where we're going to spend our focus and sort of, you know, looking for new galleries. And Phil's already, he's on a round-the-world trip right now, sort of soliciting and talking to different museums about their future exhibitions to put under this banner. So we're real excited about that.
And is it Phil and his team, not to be familiar with a person I don't know, but Phil and his team, who are responsible for the writing, the narration of the films?
Yes. So Phil's putting together what he does is sort of come with a short list of what he thinks is going to be, you know, the compelling exhibits that will hit in any particular year. And he came to us with a short list of about seven or so. And Robert and I really talked it through with Phil and kind of identified which ones we thought would be most globally recognizable and globally exciting for the cinemas and the fans, really. And that's where how we narrowed it down to the first three. And so Phil's out there prospecting. And he and his team, that which is Seventh Arts Productions, PhilGrabskyFilms.com is the name of this company, they'll be out there writing and producing. And we have editorial input on how the film will look. For example, we'll say, hey, no, we want less chat and more picture. So go away and do that. And, you know, I even went frame by frame through Manet and sort of made notes, and a lot of those notes made it into the final cut. So it's a very highly collaborative experience of working together.
And I know we'll be able to see it soon, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Is it a zoom and pan view of the paintings and the art, or is it, what does it look like, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Sure. So not every shot is the same, of course. But there's...
that would be awful.
There's like a, you know, in most instances, there's a long-range view. So if you're standing in the back of the gallery, and then we'll take you to that painting and hold for a while, and then we might take you to a corner of the painting and then hold there. So the idea is sort of the way your eye would read a painting, kind of, you know, in totality, and then maybe you'd zoom into the middle because that's where your eye naturally goes, and then you'd follow the arc of of the painting of the arm to the tablecloth, back to the person's face, across the eyes to the hat. You know, you might, as you might do that in person. But the idea is to kind of slow the motion and make it very contemplative.
Other than David Bowie, you've done Red Hot Chili Peppers and a couple of other rock concerts. How is all the different things, I guess, how is producing them, getting them ready, different? Like, how is the opera different from a concert, different from a public radio show? This sounds like it should just explain itself, but from your perspective, how are they different to get on the screen?
Well, the rock shows are really chaotic, and you know they're based on the idea that either the artist has an album to launch or a tour to launch. There's always some event. The Red Hot Chili Peppers that you mentioned were launching a record. We did the Big Four with Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, and Anthrax, which was, you know, a crazy collaboration of artists together who'd never played before, and they were very limitedly touring in Europe. They'd since come to the U.S. and other parts of the world, but it's like basically the house is on fire in producing and distributing one of these events. The house is on fire. You've got every fireman, you know, with hoses pointing in every direction. It's really chaotic. And in the end, you know, the artist really gets behind it and they tweet about it and they, you know, engage with their fans, and that's what brings people out. So both of those were tremendously successful as a result.
This idea that you've come up with, what you're doing, getting people, instead of rushing home all the time to watch things, getting them in theaters to watch things.
Right. It's a real active way of consuming entertainment. And hopefully we inspire and educate and, you know, give people a reason to kind of travel once they do, to sort of see things that, you know, it's a low risk investment of time and money to try the in theater experience. And, you know, we hope more and more people will embrace the concept and, you know, want to come out and see one of our events.
Julie, thank you very much for fitting me into your day today.
Oh, my pleasure, Sarah. Thank you so much.
Julie Borchard-Young runs By Experience with her husband, Robert. To learn more, visit byexperience.net. The website for Exhibition Great Art on Screen is exhibitiononscreen.com. On that page, there is an easy-to-use menu to find where the events are screening near you. exhibitiononscreen.com. The By Experience broadcasts of NPR and WBEZ Chicago's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me will start on May 2nd. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.